Good morning, church. Our reading this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Very, very well known passage. I just hope I do it credit. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Thanks be to God.
When you look at the Bible, when you see the different things that you can find in there, you realize how the Bible is inspired by God. All these wonderful pictures that we can see of how God has made his people, his world, his church. I'm going to tell you something now which may be very shocking to some of you. I am not a football fan. I find myself unable to get away from it all. And I did watch the last 15 minutes of last night's match. That's the only bit of this whole, whatever you call it, that I have watched. The last 15 minutes. And I was struck by one thought. The names Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane might be come the names of national heroes or household names, but they would be absolutely nothing without many other people around them. People who are unnoticed. Obviously, their teammates, but also all kinds of people. Their physios. Whoever washes the kit. Whoever cleans the dressing room. Whoever cuts the grass and paints the lines in the right place. Whoever makes footballs. Whoever supports them as a fan. The PE teachers at their schools. The other teams they play against. And actually, they would be nothing were it not for the rules of football and the referees that impose those rules. These two footballers While to some they may be heroes already, in my mind we were watching the semi-finals, but we're only up to the quarter-finals last night. They may be heroes in people's minds already, but without countless others, they would be nothing. This is true of everybody in church too, but at a much deeper spiritual level. The first slide. The first slide reminds us that we are one body together. The Apostle Paul wrote this passage to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had quite a few difficulties, especially with disagreements and with discussions about the status of different people in the church. Who was the best? Who should be the most important? Who should they follow? Who should they listen to the most? In chapter 1, verse 10, Paul writes to them, or 10 and 11, he writes to them, and this is what he says. In verse 11, he says, "My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you." And then back in verse 10, he says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought." Because there was some division in that church in Corinth. And so as Paul has written this letter, right the way up to chapter 12 that we heard read to us, he has this in mind. And in chapter 12, he says, "Remember that as the church, you are a spiritual body." It's the subject of unity and diversity that Paul's addressing, especially when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are the special abilities that God gives to an individual Christian by the Holy Spirit so that the whole church might benefit. Not so that that individual Christian might be lauded and applauded, but so that the whole church might benefit and the kingdom of Christ might grow. Paul sees the church not as a democracy, but as a human body. Not as a male body or a female body or a young body or an old body or a perfect body, but just as a structure of a human body made up of different parts that work together. In ancient times, there were quite a number of thinkers who used this idea of a human body as an illustration. Through the picture of the body, Paul speaks of unity and diversity. He says the body's made up of many parts, but all are part of one body. You know, the wonderful thing about a church, the wonderful thing for young people growing up in a church, is that they mix with people of all ages. The wonderful thing about being older in a church is that you mix with people of all ages, and they are all equally valuable. Just because somebody has reached a mature age does not make them less important. Just because someone is very, very young, it does not make them less important. Each person matters. The body is made up of many parts, says Paul, and it's one body. He describes the church as the body of Christ. Now, this is a different illustration to the one Paul uses in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 1, where he is picturing Christ as the head of the church. In this picture, he is bringing to bear his favorite concept of the Christian being in Christ. And he says, as all believers are in Christ, so they are all part of one body. There are many parts of the human body, but there is only one body. I've got bits in my body that don't work so well and bits that work a bit better. I've got bits in my body that I can't even bring to my mind. I've got things going on in my body that I don't even know about or notice. How is it that I know how to breathe? I just do it. I don't think about it. I don't worry about whether the lungs are doing what they should be doing. I just do it. And how is it, and this always amazes me, that I can still throw a ball into the air and catch it? I don't know how I can do it. How does it work? How am I able to put that thing in the air and at the same time bring my hand to the right place to catch it? It's incredible, isn't it? Our bodies are amazing. We can't even begin to imagine the things that are going on just while we're looking at something or listening to something. Just while we are sitting still, our bodies are at work. Even when we're asleep, our bodies are working. All those bits of our body working together. Working together in order to make the body function. Some seen, some unseen. There are many parts to the human body, but one body. Every believer, whatever their racial background or religious background, this was particularly important in Corinth at the time that Paul was writing, whatever their gifting, whatever their social standing, and this also was important to the Christians of Corinth. They were assessing people on their social standing, whether they were slaves or free, whether they were men or women, whoever they were, whether they were young or old. Whoever Paul is writing to, he says, every believer has been united in Jesus. And in verse 13, he says, we've all been given of the same spirit to drink. This is a reminder of John 7, 37 and 38, where Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So when Paul says, drink of the Spirit, he's referring back to Jesus' words. He says, whatever people's background, whether they are Jews or Gentiles, whether they are slave or free, whoever they are, all are bound together in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. All age groups, all backgrounds, all abilities. And the second slide, the body reminds us that we are all different and all valued. There are bits of my body which are very, very important to the function of my body. And I don't even know they exist, or barely know they exist. Here's a picture of a hand. But a disembodied hand is utterly useless. It's no good to anybody. No good at all. What would anybody do with a disembodied hand? Well, it would be dead for a start. It wouldn't be able to bend its fingers. It wouldn't be able to do anything at all. It wouldn't be able to hold anything, grip anything. Just because a hand is a hand, it's no good without the rest of the body. In the body, there is a picture of individual members of the body who cannot contract out of that body. And that's true of the Church of Christ. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you belong to the Church of Christ. You can't say, well, I want to be a believer, but I don't want anything to do with the church. It doesn't make sense. If you were a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the body of Christ, the worldwide Church of God. Diversity is a definitive attribute of a human body. We have all sorts of different bits to us. And it's a defining aspect to the church as well. If a body is to function properly, it has to work together. And this is true in the church too. It seems that disputes in the church in Corinth had left some people feeling as if they had nothing to contribute and didn't belong. I reckon there are people today in the church who feel that they don't belong, that they've got nothing to contribute. What gifts have I, they say. How am I important to the body? What do I matter? Would anybody notice if I wasn't there? Well, the Lord certainly would. And the Lord thinks that you matter. And the Lord knows that your part in the church is absolutely vital. Whether it's seen and acknowledged by others or not, it matters. It matters that you are part of the church and you belong. Just as in the human body, everyone has a role, whether it's prominent or whether it's hidden. And it's not a competition. In the world, there is a lot of competition. You might see people where somebody is writing something down and somebody comes along and in effect, they say, I've got a bigger pencil than you. I'm more important than you are. what I do, what I say is so much more influential, is so much better. It matters more than you. That's the impression we get. Certain world leaders we could think of make that impression upon us. I've got a bigger pencil. I can write better words. I can make everything happen. Utter rubbish. You know, the Lord says, it doesn't matter how important you think you are. Self-importance, ambition, a competitive spirit has no place in the church of Christ. God is not impressed by such things. When we come to serving God within the church, it's not about how important we think we are. If we start along that road, then we have nothing to contribute whatsoever. It's about belonging and service. The eyes can't hear, but the ears can. The ears can't see, but the eyes can. All must be valued, all age groups, all backgrounds, all abilities. Where would we be in the church without our quiet prayer warriors? You know who you are, even if nobody else does. You know that you battle in prayer. You remember people in prayer that others have forgotten to pray for. That you pray when other people forget to. You know who you are, even if nobody else does. Where would our church be if we had no prayer warriors? We need them. Where would we be in our church if nobody ever cleaned the church? Where would we be? We may not even think about it. But the person, the people who keep the church clean are absolutely vital. They're vital to the well-being of the whole of the body of Christ in this place and the outreach of the body of Christ in this place. Cleaning. What about the person who repairs things that are broken? Those who run the IT. Those who take care of the plants and the flowers. Those who shift the furniture. Those who empty the bins. Those who give money generously, unseen by everyone else. Every person matters in the church of Christ. The person who in a gentle and quiet way speaks to other people and offers the hand of friendship, they matter in the church of Christ. The person who doesn't even know what their gift is but carries on matters in the church of Christ. Every person matters because it's not about being important. It's about belonging and contributing for the glory of God and the growth of his kingdom. In fact, in Mark we read that there were two people who wanted to be really important, James and John. And they, or their mum, whichever version you read, came up to Jesus and said, "Let's have seats on the right and left of you when you come into your kingdom. We want to matter. We want to be close to you in that place of importance when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all." And there again in John 13, Jesus said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." On the third slide, we see a different picture again, a picture of salt. Because Jesus also said to his followers, "You are the salt of the earth." And all believers have this role, from the tiniest ones to the oldest ones. If we love Jesus, we are the salt of the earth. All are needed to make up the church. But we do have different roles and different gifts. We are not all the same, and we're not all called to serve the Lord in exactly the same way. We are different. Now, I don't know how many of you have big bunches of keys. I've got a modest bunch of keys in here somewhere. And in this bunch of keys, there are various different kinds of key. Front door key, back door key, key to a window, key to a padlock. Each key is different. No key will open the other. The front door key won't open the padlock. The back door key won't open the front door key. The window key won't open the front door or the back door or the padlock. The keys are all different. It would be no good if they were all the same. They are all different. And Paul tells us that it's God and not human ability that matters. God makes us fit for the role he has in store for us in the church. Now, that doesn't mean he has one role set for each Christian for life. He doesn't. He moves us into different things. He expects us all to chip in, and sometimes we don't feel gifted. But he gives gifts to be used as he and he alone decides. It seems that the Corinthian Christians thought that some gifts were more important than others. We are tempted to do the same, aren't we? We are tempted to think that if somebody does something that's very visible, that's more important than something that's hidden. It's not in God's kingdom. But God decides who does what. And if the Corinthian Christians thought some gifts were more important than others, well, Paul says no. And Jesus spoke of how we are to be servants. We're not to be egotists. We're not to be those who think we are more important than anybody else. Rather, we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to serve one another in his kingdom. We are servants. We are those who are bringing glory to Jesus. And those who try to rate gifts on some sort of hierarchical scale, well, they're missing the point. Because it's about unity and diversity. And above all, it's about the service of our Lord. Paul says, those without prominent gifts, they are even more indispensable than others. They deserve even more respect than those with prominent gifts. Because God arranges the members of the body in a way that creates a harmonious whole to prevent division. All age groups, all backgrounds, all abilities. I'll tell you a little story about a church that I was part of. In this church, we were setting a budget for the year. And when it came to it, with the things we needed to do and the money that we expected to receive, there was a gap. This was quite a few years ago, and the gap was £1,200. And so we said, what should we do? How should we raise some more money? Or if we don't raise more money, perhaps we should cut what we do. How are we going to do this? After a lot of prayer, all of the church members were given a piece of paper at a church meeting. There were about 60 people present. And on this piece of paper, there were three different boxes to tick. The first said, I believe we should cut our budget so that we can make ends meet and honour the Lord. The second said, I believe that we should keep our budget the same and the Lord will meet our needs. And the third said, the Lord is telling me to give X amount extra per week. Well, the pieces of paper went out into the kitchen and the scrutineers counted them and they came back in and they said, well, there were ticks in the first box, there were ticks in the second box, and in the third box we had pledges from 50 pence a week to £5 or more a week, and the total added up to £1,206. If somebody had wanted to arrange that, it would have taken them a month of planning, communication with everybody who was going to be at the meeting, knowing who was going to be there and who wasn't, and they probably still wouldn't have got it right. But the Lord did it. He arranged it just like that. In fact, the treasurer did a recalculation later on and said, in actuality, the shortfall in the budget should have been £1,206. The Lord knows best, and he arranges things according to his wisdom so that we can be the worshipping, serving, loving body of Christ, as we see in the final slide. The final slide has got four dogs on it. Two of them are gone to doggy heaven now, but there's Penny on the left, then Bella, then Johnny, then Meg. All of them very different. Not just different breeds, well, the two in the middle are both French bulldogs, but really, really different personalities. You wouldn't believe it, but they really were very different in their personality. All of them lovely in their own way, but very different in their personalities. In church, we are very different in our personalities. We are different people. We are diverse, but we are called to be the body of Christ. Spiritual people working together, as with the human body, so with the church. Acting together in unity is the proper function of the church. And what happens to one part of the church affects all the church. For we are a family together. Our role as a church is to remember that everybody has a part to play in the church. Whatever age they are, whatever background they're from, they all have a part to play. Because they all belong to Jesus and therefore to the body of Christ. And belonging goes across the generations. Young people and children, they're not just the church of the future, they're the church of today. Those who are older, they still need to witness to those who are older to come to faith. It's not about coming to faith as a child, growing up in the church and that's it. People of all age groups need to come to faith in Jesus. All age groups need to serve the Lord Jesus together in today's church. Now you might have heard, I brought with me my tambourine. It's the first time my tambourine has been in church, but I like a tambourine. But why would I play a tambourine in church? The danger is I might play it to get noticed. That would be no good at all. I might be able to play it to accompany the worship if I could keep the right time. But if I was putting people off, then I should not use it. Because my gifts should contribute to the good of the whole. What about if it's my personal way of worshipping the Lord? Well, if my personal way of worshipping the Lord conflicts with everybody else's way of worshipping the Lord, then that tambourine should go back in the bag and not be used. Because together we are a worshipping community. It's not just about our gifts for our act of worship. It's about us together as a church, and we all matter. Now, it's not easy. It's not always easy. It's not always easy in a family, is it? I can remember as a young girl, as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, I always had to share a bedroom with my sister. My grandma lived with us. We were a multi-generational household. And I had to share a bedroom with my sister. "I want the door more open to see the light," said my sister. "I want the door more closed," said I, "because it's too light. It's getting in my eyes." You know, families don't always get on, do they? Sometimes there's rivalries, there's disputes between the generations, across the generations. It's not always easy, but family is family. And when it comes to being a spiritual family, there is an extra dimension of unity. Human families don't always survive the difficulties, but God's family must. Because we are bound together, not just by blood ties. We are bound together by the Spirit of God. The Spirit we all share, into whom we are all baptized, of whom we all drink. We are bound together by the love of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who has saved us all in spite of who we are. We are bound together in the love of our Heavenly Father, who touches us with His mercy and with His grace. Sometimes there are problems in our bodies. Sometimes there is problems in the body of Christ. But it is still a privilege to serve the Lord together. The very young in our church, they can teach us about joy, can't they? They can teach us about uninhibited worship. They can teach us about confidence in the presence of the family of God. The little ones have so much to teach us in the church. those who are older, they might teach us about the wonder of Jesus, about a trust that continues, about the sustained faithfulness of God. We all have something to give and something to receive from one another when we come to worship the one who is our Lord and our King in the body of Christ. It's not always easy being church family, being the body of Christ, but there is no other way to be church than to be God's people together, different, diverse, but one people united in faith. I'm going to close with some words from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all."